The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
SEC Media Day is the, the final day, because this day has gone on interminably. Roman Harper joining us here at the state. Great to see you, Roman. I know there's until about 4 o'clock, it had been all football. And then the story came out about OU in Texas, and we're going to continue to cover that story in great detail as we work our way through this program, especially in the final half hour with a couple of reporters who are working on it. But I don't think anybody really knows exactly what to make out of it, but just as somebody who covers this league, the idea that those two would be entering in a couple of years, what does that mean to you?
It means that the SEC, everybody wants a piece of it. And also, you can also tell that the recruiting really matters. When you're able to say, hey, you want to come play in the SEC where the most NFL players are drafted, or where all these other things are happening, and where mostly they actually say, hey, it just means more. I think that really just kind of settles it for you right there. If you're talking about Texas, who is the reason why the Big 12 is what it is, that they have their own network, they have all this other power, why are you trying to all of a sudden change at this moment when you, is there really even room for you? I heard Mike Leach earlier complaining about, well, they wouldn't mind taking away all of your opponents that you always have to play on the other side, so then you don't have to wait every 6 years to play other teams. If you put in 2 more teams, what is it going to go like to 8 years before you'd ever see like a Alabama, Florida normally match up?
Well, yeah, not that we're in charge of this, but let's be in charge of it for a second. You have to add an extra conference game. There's no getting around it.
Yes. Well, I'm cool with the conference game. I'm cool with going, not having so many out of conference teams on your schedule. It just makes it harder. It's more of the SEC feel that we actually really, really enjoyed having those 10 games last year. Was something that we were not used to seeing, but it was tougher, and everybody really enjoyed it. The competition was more heavy, and it was actually a good thing for this conference.
Yeah, it's somebody just asked me in the hallway, how soon can this happen? Right now, it's interesting. I don't think the public is taking it very seriously.
I'm not. Yeah. I didn't even believe it when I heard Laura talk about it when we were on SEC Now, right before Coach had just came on, Jimbo had just come on, and then somebody asked him about it. I was very slow to believe it. We threw it out there. I don't see it happening. I don't see why you would want more teams in. I understand if, you know, the power that is Texas and Oklahoma, if you have that many teams who you know you're always there. But why would Oklahoma want it when you know that Oklahoma usually has the 4th spot in the playoff deal pretty much sewn up when they're all the only representative from that conference year in and year out?
Well, yeah, I mean, Oklahoma may be that's a good case. sometimes stories like this are hard to read in real time. I'm particularly interested in what we're going to hear later from a reporter, because I don't know what these guys are who they're talking to right now. But I suspect everyone suddenly – by the way, no one had a source until this afternoon. Suddenly, everyone will have source.
I didn't believe the story when it first broke, Paul. I told you already. I didn't want to believe it, because why would Texas want to come all the way across here and try and jump back in? Why would Oklahoma want to come all the way down here and try and jump back in? I think the traveling schedule would be very intense on most of these players. And the money's already good at where they're at. Why do you want to try and switch it up to try and get in deeper competition where Texas is already trying to get back to what they call Texas status? And I don't think you're going to get back any faster if you come over here and jump in the SEC, that's for sure.
Yeah, you're right. But, yeah, if anyone, Roman, can accurately figure out what is currently going on in college athletics, I wish they would step up here, because I don't know. And I don't think anyone knows. And it's a free-for-all. But let's talk about some things that we know are going to happen.
Okay. Some real knowns.
And I'm particularly curious about your observations from Coach Saban today. I've watched him every year at this event. I realize you've been playing pro football. but it was you always try to overinterpret or overanalyze what he had to say. But you know, he was very tight-lipped about what he had said yesterday about Bryce Young.
That shook the whole thing. When he said that yesterday, that's what dominated the headlines from the moment it came out. And then today, he didn't really want to open up more and more. But I know he said that. He doesn't just accidentally say words. He knows that everything he says is never off the record, truly, sure, when you're at these things. So what was the purpose behind it? Really, I think it is that he just really feels that Bryce Young has this much opportunity out there. I think him being a West Coast athlete also is an influence in this. This is not just all deep South Alabama football money. This is other opportunities, knowing that this young man is from Southern California. The powers that be there, the marketing dollars in Southern California are so much bigger and larger. It's a reason why they say large market teams versus small market teams. Los Angeles County, LA, Southern California has money that nobody else can match.
Well, tell me this, though. If you've been a recruit before.
I have.
And a good one.
It was in a different time.
I realized it. I had to look up. They didn't have – when I went to research your playing career, I couldn't – I had to go to the library.
They probably had it in a file cabinet back then.
By the way, for the record, I was a sports writer covering him when he
– That is true.
He played football at Alabama. If you're a five-star, East Coast, West Coast, doesn't matter what coast – and you read that story yesterday, is it safe to say that would encourage you to want to go to Alabama?
There's no doubt about it. I mean, you said it, Paul. I'm glad I didn't have to say that. But Nick knows that what he says, everybody heard. And it was ramifications from that sentence and that speech, that if you're a star quarterback that hasn't even taken a snap here, and you're already saying that NIL availability money-wise is getting close to seven figures, that's very intriguing. They have a five-star quarterback in the waiting that has not signed yet completely and got on campus. And so you will wonder what's going to be next. Who's that next position? This is the thing with the rich will get richer, in the fact of quarterbacks, people that are scoring touchdowns, that is who are going to get the majority of these high money deals. I don't think the deals are going to be as crazy as what everybody thinks. I'm looking forward to seeing more money in hand. I just hope we continue to educate these young men and women about what comes with the money. Once you take the dollar, it comes with responsibility, that not every dollar is a good dollar. And when financially educating these people about, you know, starting your own LLC, understanding what your brand will be, that every deal that you take, it is a reflection on you and your family going forward.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I mean, I would imagine every high school guy out there yesterday is texting everybody, said, "Did you see this?" And I think I overthink everything, but I think Saban jumped on the plane to come back, and his PR guy said, "You don't need to say anything else tomorrow. We've already won."
Well, he won when they told Lane Kiffin, and Lane Kiffin had no response. He was shook. So that lets you know Ole Miss is not on that same type of level when it comes to any other deals. Nobody else has this type of money being thrown out there. So for a quarterback to have that has not played, that has not won a Heisman, it's not like he's done or accomplished all these things outside of his high school career. So if he's never taken a snap and he's already having this type of money, I just hope he buys it. Let me give him some advice. Bryce, if you're getting this type of money, do something really good for your teammates. The best teammates that I ever played for had the best deals and marketing deals. They bought all their teammates the best presents. And when you take care of the old linemen and the big boys, they will take care of you.
Now, it sounds, may be a stupid question, but I did, as I mentioned, I did cover that era that you had at Alabama. You're talking about when you were –
in the league.
In the league, not at Alabama.
He's trying to get me. In the NFL, quarterback teammates were the ones that took care of their offensive line. I'm glad you allowed me to make that distinguished difference.
Because you were at Alabama, what years?
2001 to 2005.
And I guess you remember what happened back then.
I do. I mean, we got put on probation.
Okay.
That's
no further
all we
questions,
need to say.
Your Honor.
That he knows this and understands this. He wrote many, many articles about all of the times that Tennessee was beating Alabama and how Alabama was down. This was all – if you had a LOL emoji at the time, which was non-existent, you would have had plenty of those in your articles.
I mean, I remember, what was it? Was it 02 when Alabama won at Neyland? I'm trying to remember.
That was 02, 2002.
So I remember being in the stadium then. You were obviously on the field. I had a much easier job just kicking my feet up and eating hot dogs. But that was – that Alabama win broke like a – 7 or 8 game think about this, Tennessee winning streak against Alabama.
Yes, it was huge. That was the day Brody Croll actually came in that game and helped us win that game. Defensively, they played really good. Charlie Pepper had a great big-time interception to kind of take it from one of the receivers and almost scored a touchdown but barely got walked down. So it was a great experience. It was the loudest I'd ever heard any stadium at the point in my life, Neyland Stadium, and it was all for boos. It wasn't because they were cheering that loud. It's because they were booing that loud because they felt that I think they thought that Brody's knee had touched down, or Santonio Holmes' knee, the running back, had touched it down, and then it's a loud moment. It was the loudest I'd ever been in a stadium. You don't forget these things, and I remember exactly why. I also was not playing as much as you thought. I was a freshman, so you know, we did have a little bit of depth in front of me.
I mean, you did okay. We are going to take a break. Don't go anywhere. Unless you're going out somewhere. I don't want to stop you.
I'm good.
Oh, we do. I'm sorry. They just told me we have to talk to somebody from Texas. So,
nice.
Go ahead. Go out.
I will.
Thanks, Roman. We're keeping it from dinner, and I just gave it to you. That's the commissioner of the SEC walking down Radio Row.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Back in Hoover on one of the busier SEC Wednesdays we've ever had here, and that has nothing to do with Nick Saban. It has everything to do with our next guest. Who is Brent Zwerneman from the Houston Chronicle. We've talked to Brent many times. We talked to him about the big story of the summer when Jimbo Fisher let loose. And today, as Jimbo Fisher was about to or was speaking to the media, you broke a story in your newspaper that has the entire college sports world upside down. Let's talk about what you know at this point in time.
Texas and Oklahoma have reached out to the SEC to make it a 16-team conference, and the insider who clued me into this said that there could be an announcement within even in the next few weeks that they could join the conference. And, Paul, it's incredible the timing. 10 years ago to this day is when Bowen Lofton, then Texas A&M's president, stepped out of a regents meeting, and there were a few of us standing there, and he said, the Big 12 is in a state of uncertainty because of the Longhorn Network. That was 10 years ago today. And you know how once that was out, how things progressed rapidly. And so now it's Texas and Oklahoma in that situation, wanting to join the SEC.
And Brent, there have always been rumors about Oklahoma in the SEC. And you know, they come up, they bubble up, they bubble back down. But I think Texas would have been maybe the last school you would have ever thought to come to the SEC just because of all the things that you know living in Texas. I mean, Texas, you know, has a healthy opinion of itself. They have their own network, which, by the way, is owned by ESPN. And you finished the sentence for them because it just seemed like, you know, they at one time were looking west at the Pac-12. They thought they belonged out there with the Cal Berkeleys and the Stanfords of the world. It just never seemed like they also snickered a little bit when A&M came over here.
I was going to say that, Paul. I was saying everything you were saying seems like they would have been a better fit for the Pac-12. And that was certainly a consideration a decade ago. And then at that point, people thought, well, of course, Texas A&M is going to join Texas. Those two are going to do everything together, and they're going to head out west. Well, some Aggies in some high places, obviously Gene Stallings being one of them, said, that's ridiculous. You know, Texas A&M needs to join the SEC, and it's a good cultural fit. I think Texas is just looking ahead at everything that's going on, the NIL, the expanded playoffs, all of those things, the payout that A&M is now getting compared to what they got in the Big 12, putting it all together and saying that they would like to be a part of that. And the SEC is thinking forward in terms of saying we want to be the first 16-team conference as well in terms of the super conferences.
Maybe because I'm from the newspaper side, I'm so intrigued about how things happen and when and why. And what can you tell us about the process of the development of this story?
I believe it's been in the works at the highest ranks for a little while, but now that it's out there, I think it's going to move rapidly. And essentially, this came from a high-ranking college official who's aware of the situation, wanted it out there, and that's what we have now. And if you look back to what Bowen Lofton did a decade ago with that calculated move of saying that the Big 12 is in a state of uncertainty, It rapidly moved things forward at that point for the Aggies in Missouri as well later on. And I think you're going to see that as well now that the story is out.
Brent, it's easy for me to sit here without you sitting next to me and go, man, I don't know about the timing of this. I mean, right as Jimbo Fisher is walking into the room, I do know a little bit about the business. You just don't throw a dart when you hear a rumor. I mean, you got to vet a story and then you have to get your bosses to sign off on it. So, Can you take us through any of that, how this story just ended up breaking when it did?
Paul, I was the guy wandering around the lobby holding a laptop and a cell phone that was running out of battery and scrambling and trying to get responses from the two universities involved. Okay. With the idea of knowing that the more we asked, the more the story might get out there from someone else at that point. So once we got confirmation from the University of Texas that they said, they did not deny it, of course. No one has denied it. They said they're not going to address these rumors. First, it was no comment. Then at that point, we decided to go with the story.
How long did it take
to get
that?
was coincidental.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
If you want to say that, you know, I still think it's crazy that it was 10 years ago to the day that Lofton tipped off the new wave of realignment. So that was coincidental. It wasn't by any stretch. Today was a day we had all looked forward to because it was Mike Leach, right. Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher. There was plenty of news that was going to be reported otherwise, so it was just coincidental. It wasn't planned that way.
So is this something that you've been working on, or is this something that's kind of bubbled up?
Let's go with the bubbled up aspect of it. I mean, you had heard things.
Sure.
But it happened in a hurry.
There were some rumors.
Right. But there always are rumors.
You can't report a rumor.
Yeah, when it comes from a very high-ranking official.
A lot of people can, but
exactly.
Can.
Right, exactly. And so when it comes from, you know, a high-ranking official who would know, then that's when you really start chasing.
And I want the audience to understand something. I'm not being a journalism professor, but yeah, there's a lot of you work for a very large reputable newspaper, and I'm assuming there's a standard. You just can't tell your editors, I talked to a guy who knows a guy, right?
Right, absolutely. My boss Reed Lamance, and he knows. You know, we have a good relationship, and he knows he can trust me. Like for instance, when Texas A&M was getting ready to hire Jim Schlossnagel as baseball coach, I had it ready to go. But there was some thought right at the end that LSU might be in play. We didn't go with it. We held because we wanted to be cautious. We're always going to be cautious. And in this situation, you know, it's an impeccable source, one I've relied on for decades.
Right.
And has never steered me wrong. So all those things come into play when you decide on when to go with the story.
So, because you are the at the vanguard of the story, can you give us a roadmap of what you think happens next?
I'm going to use A&M in Missouri as the example. That with it out in the public and there not being any flat denials from anyone with the SEC, from anyone from Texas or Oklahoma, that things are going to move forward pretty rapidly. In fact, my insider said that there could be an announcement within 2 weeks in terms of making this a 16-team conference in the SEC.
So it is your belief based on what you've been told. And I want to make it clear, you're not sitting here, I'm a pundit, you're a reporter. This is not you, Brent Sanger. I think this is what you're being told.
Correct.
Okay. And what you're being told, just to make sure I'm clear, and I'm pretty sure I am, that this person told you that the announcement will be made that they're joining the SEC?
That it is headed, yes.
Okay.
Yes. That it is headed in that direction. And it will be a 16-team conference, adding Texas and Oklahoma.
Wow. That's a lot to chew on.
Awful lot to chew
on.
So
I'm curious, before you go, you're here covering A&M. You've just written the biggest story of the summer in college football. What do you do next?
I had to set aside that ode to Mike Leach. I really looked forward to that, and that kind of got set aside at that point as well.
You're always great to come on, and you have had some really big stories this summer. The Jimbo story was a talker of epic proportion, and this one is resonating.
Yeah, Tanya Spell, who asked Jimbo that question, who Dream Offsides, looks forward to coming on your show, so we'll make sure and get her on.
Booker. Hey, Brent, thanks so much, and well done. Appreciate
you
it.
You bet, Paul. Thank you
great
for having
to have you
me on.
One of the premier reporters in the country, as you can deduct for yourself. Wow. Brent Zernman, we'll talk to a couple of reporters who are going to react to what he had to say when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Final 30 minutes of this is Nick Saban Day, in case anybody forgot. Welcome back to the program. Joseph Goodman, columnist, rail.com, and John Talty, the senior sports editor, joining us to get some reaction. We're going to get to some other issues later on. but John, you're at the top of the heap in sports reporting on college football. I want to get your reaction to what you've heard all day, both in that room and with your sources.
Yeah, I think the smoke was building to this. I think that there was conversations about, you know, what was going on in this space. And so I wouldn't say that I was shocked when this news came out. I also wouldn't say I was pleased when this news came out, because I was trying to pursue the same story. But I think there's certainly smoke to this topic. Now, whether this ends with Texas and Oklahoma and the SEC, I think that's a very long way to go. But I think certainly there is some real smoke behind this topic, and I think that there are going to be some very important conversations happening in the Big 12 and around the country now that this news is out there.
Yeah, and just to follow up for 1 second on that, John, when it first came out, I was watching it like you were in real time. Jimbo was up there, but just talking to people out in the lobby, a lot of people were laughing at it. They thought it was just a crazy rumor. I know you didn't think that, because
right.
But how do you see the story changing over the next few hours?
Well, I think so. Since the story's come out, we've seen non-denial statements from Texas and Oklahoma, in which they have essentially said nothing in those statements. You've seen Oklahoma State come out with a very strong statement. And I think that's going to be one of the issues going forward, is that Oklahoma State, which is, you know, let's be real here, the little brother to Oklahoma, doesn't want to get left behind. They want to make sure that they are with Oklahoma the whole way. So they already have come out and said it. We've seen Ross Bjork was on your show coming out pretty strongly. We want to be the only Texas school in the SEC. So you're going to see a lot of public posturing from here on out as to everybody kind of puts out their different feelings about what they want and don't want. And that'll be happening very publicly, as we've seen, and also privately, which I think is going to be happening a lot in the Big 12, as all the Texas schools that are in the Big 12 don't want Big Brother Texas to leave without them.
No, and I can assure you, Texas doesn't care about you. Joe, you've watched it as well. What do you think?
I definitely love Texas's flair for drama. You know, dropping that card right before Jimbo came on stage, I think that was, you know, really calculated by Texas on their part to upstage Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M, you know, horns down. I wanted Jimbo to drop the horns down, but he didn't. you know, I think if they want to have 16 super conference teams, that's kind of the trend that's the way that trend is college football is moving right now. So I would have to say that, Texas would definitely shake up the SEC.
Yeah, and Joe, let's talk about that for a second, because, you know, there's always this conversation about realignment and, you know, moving Auburn to the east. And it's a conversation on a sleepy April day on this program and others. But, I mean, there would be a seismic shift. I mean, those are not east. Missouri's probably saying, well, we're not, we're a Western school, too. Those are not SEC East schools out in Oklahoma and Texas. So what do you think it would look like?
Yeah, you know, leaving Oklahoma State behind would be the big issue, but, you know, moving.
Well, I don't want to speak for anyone, but I don't think they're coming.
Right, yeah.
You?
No.
I mean, that's always the issue. And that's, I think, when we've gone through realignment in the past, it feels like there's always that very attractive school that everybody wants, Texas, Oklahoma, you know, UNC in the past. And then there's a little brother who kind of gets attached to them. And then you get, you know, the governor doesn't want one to leave without the other. And that's what always seems to complicate these issues. And that's going to be the next step, I think, here is the complications to all this.
Yeah, we've got it. Statement. It sounds like a presidential election here with dueling statements. Oklahoma State now out with a statement. Everybody's out with a statement. And by the way, I would also add that these statements are barely worth the paper they're printed on. Assuming they're on paper.
I think we can avoid that now. I mean, we could just do it all digital, right?
You're right. So whatever the bandwidth is that they wasted on that tweet, because, yeah. I do want to ask you, John, somebody's covered Greg Sankey, and we'll get to you on Greg Sankey in a minute. He's clearly... He's aware of the story. He's been hoping, as you said, it doesn't come out this week. What do you read into what he has said so far?
Well, he said nothing so far. I think he has reiterated over and over again, I only want to talk about 2021 and going forward. You know, if you want to read into body language, I was following him downstairs for a while. It's kind of fun just watching him. Very loose. I mean, he was doing like 30-minute long radio interviews with different radio stations right after this all broke. I mean, it didn't seem like a guy who was very worried about this. I think it showed to me he knows I've got a very strong hand that I can play here. And again, it's, you know, I'm sure if we had a live feed on Bob Bowlesby right now, he might be a little bit different than how Greg is acting. But I think he's a confident. I mean, think about it. Think about what this story is. It's Texas and Oklahoma being interested in the SEC, not the other way around. Right. I mean, obviously the SEC would be interested in those two schools, but it's them interested in joining the league. So, you know, Commissioner Sankey's in a great position. And, you know, we've talked on your show over the last year about how strong of a year he had. You know, adding Texas and Oklahoma would be a legacy defining moment for him as a commissioner.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought, Joe Goodman, that there's nothing Greg Sankey could do to top what he's already done, but this would top it. I mean, these are, you go into Rodeo Drive, the finest shop in town, and I mean, that's what we're talking about with Texas and Oklahoma. Even with Texas's swoon, they are top of the heap brand, and you know, what is this all about? This is about television, and it's hard to find two more attractive television partners outside of this league already than those two.
The biggest in the country, they would be the bells of the ball. You know, that's the super conference that would trump all super conferences just out of the gate, and then everything would fall into place after that.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.